Welcome back to The Word at Work. This is the podcast for Christian professionals where we dig into topics to support you in thriving professionally and of greatest importance, living biblically. I'm your host, Miranda Carls. Well, today we get to speak with a Christian leader with a passion for fellowship. Matthew Lamb is the CEO of Scarborough Specialties. It's a promotional products, apparel, and graphic design company based in Texas. I've been able to get to know Matthew just a bit over the last few months as he lives near me in the St. Louis area. And over coffee a few months ago, we were discussing faith in the workplace and a shared passion for Christian community and fellowship. He's someone who seems to be doing that very well, and I'm really glad that he was willing to come on the show and share just a bit about how he has found and nurtured fellowship as a richly scheduled CEO and a high-performing professional husband and father. Well, Matthew, thank you so much for making time to join us today.
Thank you for having me, Miranda, and for all the great work you're doing to build God's kingdom.
Yeah, this will be fun. And I shared just a little bit about you, but I also left a whole lot out, I know. So would you go ahead and just tell folks a little bit more about yourself as we dig into this conversation?
Sure. Yeah. So I was born and raised in St. Louis. I'm the seventh of eight children and was raised by two amazing parents who have been married for nearly 50 years now. I played soccer at Bellarmine University in Louisville, Kentucky before eventually getting my MBA from WashU here in St. Louis. And I've been married to my high school sweetheart and love of my life, Kelly, for 15 years. And we have twin boys that are 9 years old and the joy of our lives. And I wanted to pull on this thread of how we have come to get to introduce ourselves. It's a fascinating topic, and I believe indicative of our society and our culture. Mm-hmm. So we typically jump right to what do you do for work and discuss current events and things like that. And I recently attended a week-long retreat where 35 individuals traveled to Northern California from all over North America to do deep and intense work on the self. It was an incredible experience. But one of the most unique and remarkable things about this experience was you were not allowed to read, exercise, or discuss work, sports, news, religion, or politics. The only thing we could do was just with each other was to have meaningful conversation about who the other person is and how they came to be. And by the way, upon arrival, you had to turn in all of your technology. So there was no phone, wow, no computer, mm-hmm, no contact with the outside world. It wasn't even an option. So we were all able to just be. So to live in this utopia on 180 acres of rolling hills, watching the sunrise each day and things like that, this all went on for 7 days. So back to the experience of introductions and getting to know people, after 7 days with perfect strangers, I connected with these people more deeply in 7 days than most people in my life I've known for 20 or more years. And it was a really profound experience. And since then, I've really been trying to catch myself when instinctively asking someone about their profession or kids, because I realize how much I'm robbing myself and that person of the opportunity to truly connect and explore the beauty of that person. So, you know, in short, we need to remind each other that what you do is not who you are. So to tie that retreat back to the question of who I am, it was somewhat poetic how this retreat really focused on the four selves: the spiritual self, the physical self, the intellectual self, and the emotional self. So every morning we would start with the meditation, checking in with each of these selves. For example, in one word, how is my body feeling right now? And what does my body need from me today? This is a great way to attempt to manage and regulate balance in the self. So when we do this effectively, it really opens our capacity to see and love others more fully. And, you know, that really magnifies things tremendously. So these four selves tied in perfectly with the journey I've been on since 2010, where I set goals and tracked progress on my physical, emotional, spiritual, and intellectual selves. That just all was coincidence. So this retreat was a great experience and a nice opportunity to continue growing these selves because I was starting to develop a fixed mindset on how I manage these four selves. I had just been kind of getting into that rhythm over the course of 12 plus years. But that goal setting and tracking that started back in 2010 really kind of changed my life and was something I picked up from one of my first mentors when I started in the workplace. And he just had this profound impact on my life that opened my eyes to the power of sharing your gifts with others and the power of fellowship.
Yeah, that's awesome, Matthew. Thank you so much for sharing that. That sounds like a type of experience that we would all benefit from if we could have that. And especially, I love that they collected your devices at the beginning,
yeah,
which I'm sure was yeah, difficult for many, but so good. We should all maybe do that from time to time. And it's so true what you said. We get into these habits of what we ask people about and what we share about ourselves. And I always think about, even with children, it's like small talk with children. If you meet a, you know, a friend's kids or a relative's kids, one of the first questions that we ask children is, what do you want to be when you grow up? And that's a question that the kids are asked at school. And we overemphasize or sometimes solely emphasize career and a few other things about ourselves. And so that's fascinating. I bet such a wonderful experience to engage in.
Yeah, you know, it makes you realize your defaults, you know, where you're just interacting with people, but not really thinking about it. And it just kind of holds you accountable to taking a genuine curiosity in the person or the child that you're engaging with.
Yeah, get beyond that surface level. Awesome. Well, let's chat a little bit more about Christian community and fellowship. I know we're both see tremendous value in this personally, and then also in encouraging others. And you've shared with me about a group of men that you meet with regularly for Bible study. Can you tell everyone who's listening in how that got started and what that looks like now?
Sure. So this is a story that I feel only God could write. Mm-hmm. So although this
all group, the good ones are right.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So this is a group that's been meeting for about 3 years now, but the seed for this group, I feel, was planted about 11 years ago. So mm-hmm. for context, I spent a decade of my career on a plane every other week, consulting with the top promotional product companies across the US and Canada. And in 2011, I visited a company in Texas called Scarborough Specialties. Mm-hmm. This was the first company I had ever seen openly and boldly living their faith. They prayed together. They did mission trips to El Salvador together. They had scripture on the walls of their building and on their website. And they were great people. So that really opened my eyes to the concept of mixing mission, faith, and business. Mm-hmm. And so over the next 8 years, as I continued to visit various organizations, I gradually got exposed to some other businesses in various parts of the country that expressed their faith in some way, or to business leaders that we would end up having a faith-oriented conversation. And I had this concept growing in my heart of getting these Christians from different companies together, but this would have been wildly against the culture of the company I was with, so I never really pursued it. In the middle of that journey, on New Year's Day, out of the blue, I received a page-long email from one of my clients out of Atlanta that was inviting me to follow Christ. Now, he and I had never had one exchange about faith. Hmm. And God had just put me on his heart. And so I responded, and he ended up sending me about a dozen different books that we explored on monthly calls for over 2 years. And this was really the beginning formation of what became our group. He and I have been great friends ever since. And this ended up being one of the things that really kept that concept burning in my heart. And I kept kind of hearing this whisper of, maybe I should pursue this. But I kept suppressing it until 2019, when our company was sold. And there was this brief window of opportunity where nobody was really standing in my way. And I was I really didn't have any excuses anymore not to pursue this. And I can still remember the exact moment when I felt God firmly telling me, you need to make this happen. This is the time. The door is open. And I was at Mass and in downtown St. Louis on my lunch break, and I walked right out of church, went to my office, and I wrote an email to the guys that God had put on my heart from the past decade, inviting them to meet me for lunch at, of all places, Vegas, at our industry trade show a couple months ahead. And I told them, I don't have an agenda or a plan here, but I feel like we need to get together. Now, this was January 2020 when we gathered. We met for lunch, we prayed, we had a nice time, but nothing significant happened. There was no clear path ahead. And 2 months later, COVID turned the world upside down. Nobody knew what to do. Mm-hmm. Everyone's businesses and lives were on the line, and it was a really scary time. So that group and ended up jumping on a Zoom call one Wednesday morning. We prayed together, we unpacked scripture, and we have done that every Wednesday morning now for over 3 years. Mm-hmm. And we're constantly in awe of the ways the Holy Spirit is moving in our lives and in our businesses. And Miranda, something you need to understand about this crazy story is these seven men in this group are all business owners that compete with each other. So how crazy is that?
That's amazing. Yeah.
So like I said, only God could really write this story.
Yeah. So. That's the thing about the family of God. You know, we're siblings in Christ, and there's no competition or anything, even though there seems to be in the practical world or the physical world, there's that unity. I love that you shared that. I don't think I had caught that when we met for coffee that day, that you're all in competing businesses, but coming together unified as brothers. That's awesome.
Yeah, it is. It's really neat. And you know, we get together for a weekend retreat in person now each year. The fruit that comes from that time is really amazing. And, you know, we're all on this journey to find ourselves and to evolve our relationship with God, to strengthen our relationships and to become the best version of ourselves. And this group of believers has made me, without question, a better husband, a better father, a better leader. And it's brought me closer to Christ. So
yeah,
I can't say enough about it.
Mm-hmm. And 3 years, and you meet every Wednesday. Is it pretty consistent? Have you had seasons where you've skipped a few Wednesdays, or has that been pretty consistent every Wednesday for the last 3 years?
Yeah, it's been remarkably consistent. And you know, there's with seven guys in the group, it's a really great number because it affords a tremendous amount of intimacy. But yeah. if a couple guys need to miss 1 week, the band marches on. We've been as thin as three on a week, but we pretty regularly have five or six at least on any given week. And we have one guy lead. He distributes scripture and usually some reflective questions for the session the night before. We pray over one another. And I'd say the main reason this group gets stronger every week is because we've learned to show up each week with an open heart. So you know, we're really just vessels that allow the Holy Spirit to come in and use us to lift each other up. So we're open to the prompts that God puts before us. As a matter of fact, this past Wednesday, John chapter 3, verse 2, we is one of the things that we read. And it says, the Spirit gives birth to the Spirit. And this is just so true. How are we more attuned to our spiritual self when we make time for prayer, when we make time for silence, when we surround ourselves with spiritual people? I think that's a big part of our calling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is fantastic. And I think that's such an encouragement to people listening in. If there's someone who is feeling that nudge to get together with a group and start something, it can be done. It can be done consistently, and God can work through that. Gosh, fellowship is just such an important spiritual discipline. I think it's one that we can sometimes take less seriously than others, so it gets ignored, especially if we are in the midst of busy life and career, which, let's be honest, we're all in the midst of a busy life. That's how we kind of do things. We fill our time, and if it's not work, it's going to be something else. But I'm curious, Matthew, in your own words, what's the impact of that regular, consistent fellowship on your life? You said it's impacted you as a father and a husband and a dad. Can you tell us a little bit more about the impact of that on you personally?
Yeah, absolutely. It is difficult to put into words. And I just want to point out, I'm going to start by just taking one element of that. So on the husband's side, I want to talk about marriage for a minute, because marriage it's hard, but most things in life that are worthwhile are hard. And it's a beautiful sacrament, and it's an important ministry. There's so much important ministry in marriage. And my wife has been so incredibly supportive of me and has enabled me to fulfill my dreams and elevate my performance in every aspect of my life. And what more could you ask for in another person? This group helped me realize that I need to pursue my wife's heart and to be a dream enabler for her. She's been a dream enabler for me. And this group really helped call attention to that and helped me realize I was taking my wife and my marriage for granted in my prayer life. And it led me to pray for my wife and my marriage. And these are simple things, but as humans, we need each other to unlock the potential of scripture and of each other. And so, you know, when I think about, when I think about marriage and what's going on in my circle, my network, I'm seeing some marriages of friends starting to waver or crack or break. And while I don't want to oversimplify such a complex topic, I want to reflect on an important aspect of marriage that ties back to regular fellowship. So some of the best advice I ever received was from my mom before I proposed to my wife. So I was 22 years old, and like everyone that isn't married, I was intimidated by the prospect of committing my life to one person. This is challenging for every person, and especially so for perfectionists. So my mom did not try to influence my decision one way or the other. She simply explained that no human being is going to check every box that we have. It's simply not possible. This is a really important point for every married person to understand and ideally discuss together. So my wife is so good for me in so many ways, but if I expect her to be everything I ever need all the time, I'm setting her up for failure. This conversation with my mom really helped me work through the areas in my life where I need to be fed with other relationships. And conversely, I can be more tuned into where my wife needs her cup filled in other places. Like, I can't provide everything she needs. So when she asks if she can go out with some friends on a Thursday evening, it's an immediate and emphatic yes. Go enjoy your time, because I know she comes back filled and we can support each other being more fully alive and fully ourselves without needing to be the solution every time. So this men's group has been huge for me emotionally and spiritually. And I'm an introvert. I have a tendency to work on myself by myself. For whatever reason, I kept my faith pretty guarded and private for most of my life. And as life got more demanding with work, marriage, and kids, I remained committed to some of the things that drove my faith, like an annual silent retreat that I go on to the Abbey of Gethsemane in Bardstown, Kentucky, or annual goals that I would set for myself for fasting or rosaries or things like that, that just help keep me accountable for consistency and intentional work in my faith. And as a quick aside, I'm a huge advocate of silent retreats, especially in the world we live in today. So there's just tremendous power in silence and in solitude and spending time in nature. And many people have heard of those five love languages. I feel like a silent retreat is a way to give God his love language of quality time. No technology, no agenda, no tasks to perform, just you and God. It's a really powerful experience. But anyway, I knew there was something missing. I had this growing yearning for a group I could share my authentic self with. And the older you get, I think the tougher life gets in many ways. The stakes get higher. You know, when you get married, you're living for two now. When you have kids, the stakes get really high.
Yeah.
Because now it's just not your kids depending on you and your marriage. It's your grandkids and the future generations. These are all influenced by how you choose to live your life, the values you choose to live by, and the example you choose to set. And if we think about that, that's a really big deal. I don't believe we're meant to walk a battle like that on our own. I mean, even Jesus didn't. He didn't come here going around performing miracles for everyone on his own. He had disciples and he brought people along. We really need fellowship in our life. And this group of men has changed my life. On any given week, somebody's struggling. Somebody has praise and thanksgiving for an answered prayer. It's uncanny. Every week, and iron sharpens iron. I see it every week. We get together in prayer. We're there for each other, and we've gone through some deep, dark valleys together, and the Holy Spirit is with us every step of the way.
Yeah, yeah. And I think one thing that's kind of unique about the group that you meet with that makes it a little bit different than maybe a church life group is that, as you said, you all work in similar industry, competitors even, but do very similar things throughout the week, and you connected through professional settings. What do you see as the value specifically with connecting with other men who work in a similar profession as opposed to maybe a general Bible study where you'd be from doing all different things throughout the work week?
Yeah, I think this is an important point that you're raising. Just to tune us into where's the common ground and where are the differences, and just understanding the dynamics there, because there's a lot of value in diversity and there's a lot of value in being rooted in something. So for me, the more time I've spent in the Word, the more I notice what seems to be a constant, what I would call healthy tension put before us with two conflicting sides of a story or of a concept. So fellowship, it's much of the same. I think there's great value in connecting with others who are rooted in the same foundational soil, as it enables you to go deeper more quickly. So for us as Christian men, we can explore topics that are, you know, pretty intimate topics that maybe are particular to men, or we don't have to tiptoe around anything. So we know we're all Christians. We can pray together. Mm-hmm. Yet there's a lot of value to diversity, as that enables fresh thinking, different perspectives. and more open challenging, which is important for any kind of group that's going through those valleys that I mentioned together. So as I said earlier, the Holy Spirit could have been the only one assembling a group like this that meets, but our group is beautifully diverse in age. We span four different decades.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got fathers, grandfathers, you know, we've got people that have gone through a lot of different challenges in life. And that's a big part of our,
yeah.
I think, journey is being able to help others through those challenges that we've gone through. And you never thought there would have been a good thing that came from that pain, but here you are sometimes years or decades later, being grateful for that pain that you went through because you can help someone else go through it. So it's just this great blend of wisdom and perspectives. And, you know, what's interesting is our group is incredibly diverse in the denominations of Christianity. And mm-hmm. I think this is an important point I want to touch on because personally,
please
I'm
do.
A Catholic and I'm a Catholic. And before this group, I have to admit, I only associated with other Catholics. And Randa, this is a huge miss. When we do this as Christians, we're playing right into the enemy's hands. And I've gotten so much value out of the various Christian perspectives and strengths that unpack how they unpack the Bible, how they pray. And every week, it just makes me stronger. And it makes my relationship with Christ stronger. It's enriched my faith tremendously. And there's not been a single moment where this diversity has had any adverse effects. It's a total non-factor. It's only beneficial. I think it's really important now more than ever that we stay focused on what matters as Christians, which is our love and our belief and our wonder for our Savior. After all, how did Jesus spend his time here? He walked with and loved on people from every walk of life. And I think that's our calling. That's the soil we need to operate in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that we see each other as siblings, across those denominational lines. I love that you brought that up, Matthew, because I think it does create unnecessary barriers and separation where we'll have differences on, you know, second or even third tier, doctrinal differences and let that completely, sabotage what could be a really wonderful, like fellowship or, you know, Christian sibling relationships. So I really love that you brought that up because I don't think that we talk about that enough. And so that's such a really, really good point. Well, look at us, for example. You're Catholic. I am non-denominational Christian. And I've had people on the show from all sorts of different denominations within the Christian faith. And there's so much beauty in the common ground. And while there are small differences, I think, like you said, Satan can use that to create separation within the body. Mm-hmm. And there's good opportunity for that within the workplace. The company I used to work for, I would have great just faith conversations with a group of women there. We were coworkers, and one of us, you know, I go to a non-denominational Christian church. One of them, she went to a Baptist church. One was Catholic, one was Lutheran. And it was really just never a thing. We knew that we had, you know, some varied convictions on, again, some second or third tier kind of things, but aligned on the gospel and willing to just talk openly about our varied perspectives and love on each other through that. And so, man, thank you for bringing that up. I think that's just such an important point. And for those listening in, like, don't let those little denominational things get in the way of that Christian fellowship with brothers and sisters. You're probably not going to agree on everything, but be willing to come alongside one another, on your common faith and love for Jesus. Mm-hmm. Well, Matthew, what would you say to the person listening in who is really, you know, on board with the concept of fellowship, longing for that, but feeling pretty isolated in their faith, especially as they look at the workplace and professional circles that they walk in?
Yeah. Well, the first I'd want to tell that person, you are not alone. I have walked many miles in your shoes and went through a 2-year discernment process while feeling isolated and praying every step of the way. And God just gave me assurance in that prayer that he had a plan and to be patient. And I trusted, and I'm not naturally patient on things like that, but I waited and I listened, and I found so much power during those long 2 years from examples like Mother Teresa, who said something like, if you can't feed 100 people, just feed one. For more than a decade of my career, I was firmly told to avoid the topic of religion and felt isolated in my faith and my professional circles. But I kept growing in my faith. And as I grew closer to Christ, more doors opened up. You know, I mentioned the random email out of the blue that still is, kind of crazy to me. Men and women were brought into my life that would boldly say a prayer before a meal or meeting, where there would be a window of opportunity to engage in a conversation of faith. And these were holy moments, but, you know, they were subtle opportunities. They were cracked doors that are put in front of us every day. We just have to notice and have the courage to walk through them. It was fascinating to me how this progressed, because as I grew more comfortable in my faith and grew more cool in my own skin as a person, I started following the prompts. You know, one thing I've come to realize in my life is that God's work is happening all around us every day. We're just too darn busy to notice most of the time. It's the power of prayer and fellowship that you're generally able to start noticing more. And the more you pray, the more attuned you are to the Holy Spirit's voice and the prompts put in front of you. So my advice would be follow the prompts. It's essentially how I came to abruptly leave my executive level position I'd worked my entire career to get to, because Jesus was calling me directly to a door I just needed to walk through. So my message for the isolated listener is, do not be afraid. I've read that this simple yet powerful phrase is the most common phrase in the Bible. What is the essence of this phrase? What's it calling to mind for us? I think it's an empowering reminder that we're not alone, that God has a plan for us. And, you know, pairs well with one of my favorite quotes from Winston Churchill. It says, the pessimist sees difficulty in every opportunity, but the optimist sees opportunity in every difficulty. So if you're feeling isolated in your faith, you know, walk humbly and dutifully with the Lord. Have a childlike wonder for what God has created. You know, take note of the beauty of the sunrise or the sunset and the blooming tree you drive or walk by every day. Look deeply into your spouse or your kids' eyes next time you encounter them. God is with you. And this is all training your spirit to trust there is goodness in the valleys we face in life. You know, one analogy I go back to a lot that just helps serve as a reminder for me is when we work out, we know our bodies are getting healthier. Use the same analogy for other areas of your life. When you read a book, you know you're working your brain out and you're building a stronger brain. When you pray, you're working your spirit out, you're building a stronger relationship with God. That goes to one of my favorite quotes from a book called The Spirituality of Imperfection, which says, spirituality is something you have only so long as you seek it. As soon as you think you have it, you've lost it. Now, this quote haunts me in such a beautiful way. We need each other to stay a little uncomfortable so we can keep growing. So the last thing I'd say to this isolated listener is God has a plan for you now and in the future. And it may be helpful to imagine your future self fully alive and glorifying God. Understand that your present self and the decisions you make and the things you do today are building the road to that future self that God is calling you to be. So pray and walk with God, follow the prompts with the Spirit, and trust He's going to guide you to a better place than you can imagine. But what you've got to have faith, and you've got to be active in the game. You can't sit on the sidelines with your eyes closed and expect it all to work itself out.
Yeah, that's so good. That's so good, Matthew. I've really enjoyed talking about this topic with you. I want to talk a little bit about Scarborough Specialties too, the company that you are CEO of now. You've been in the role, so you left your executive position you had prior, and you've been at Scarborough Specialties how long again?
Officially about 2 months.
Yeah, so. Yeah. So new in this role, but a company you've been interacting with for many years, and I know it really spoke to you that they're founded on Christian principles. When folks go to their website, they can see in the company values there are scripture references, which is just really awesome. Well, how do you as a leader see that impact, the impact of that in the day-to-day culture at Scarborough?
Yeah, well, Miranda, I can't tell you how delightful it is for me to be with a team that's rooted in the same soil. I mean, it breathes life into our organization every day. We pray for each other. We lift each other up. We have each other's backs. And we know we are not alone. And there are two phrases that in these 2 months, I mean, and leading into the 2 months that I've had burning on my heart and remind my team of nearly every time we meet. So the first one is be your authentic self. You are enough, and we value who you are. Life and business are better if we feel free to be ourselves. And the second one is fulfill your potential. My job as CEO is for our company to fulfill its potential, and that isn't possible unless our people can fulfill their potential. Well, guess what? None of us can fulfill our potential as individuals if we're not lifting up those around us. So it's a cycle that goes back to that saying, the glory of God is man fully alive. Scarborough Specialties works with some of the best brands in the world, and we love serving our clients. We love serving our teammates. Our values are who we are, and we are all committed to protect that special culture of building God's kingdom and uplifting each other. So when one cool thing for me is when I speak to a person interested in joining our company at any level of the organization or to a business owner about a potential acquisition, the very first thing I bring up to them is that we're a Christian-based organization. I want them to know that's who we are, and I get it out in the open right away. It just helps cut through everything and gets it out there. This is who we are. Who are you? If that doesn't align, why would we waste their time talking about what and how if our why isn't aligned?
It's so exciting to see a company running in such a manner and founded on biblical principles and doing so in such an outward way. So wonderful. I'll link to the Scarborough Specialties website in the show notes as well, so people can check that out. And I feel like, Matthew, I can't have you on and talk about fellowship and not put in a really shameless plug for anyone in driving distance of the St. Louis area. I know listeners are scattered all around, so this won't be close to a lot of you. But if you are in driving distance of the St. Louis area, and if you are hungry for fellowship, we're working with a group of Christian professionals here in the St. Louis metro area to host the Gateway Faith and Work Symposium for Christian professionals. There will be a keynote address, 12 breakout sessions on a mix of professional development topics and spiritual development topics. And there will also be plenty of time for fellowship and networking with other people just like yourself. So committed Christians who work in secular workplaces. And Matthew here will be on our leader panel with a few other Christian executives working in the marketplace. And he'll also be leading one of the breakout sessions. So if you are, again, in the St. Louis area and hungry for some fellowship and also some more time with Matthew, that would be a great thing to join. It will be September 9th. And I'll have information on that in the show notes for today's show as well. Well, Matthew, is there anything else that you would like to share with the Christian professionals who are listening in today?
I'll just close with sharing a recent Holy Week was only a few weeks ago. And I just want to share a quick, cool story about our group. We did a session on the story of Samson. And then, you know, the next one was on Holy Week and the incredible story of Jesus's death and resurrection. And they were two that go back to the theme of contrast, just on masculinity and what society maybe views as masculinity versus Jesus's walk of humility and incredible trust in his mission. And that story of his death had the most intense emotions we can experience in life: suffering, shame, forgiveness, love, hatred, betrayal, agony, hope, just incredibly drama packed. And I my reflection on Jesus's life is this: he didn't spend any of his time chasing worldly fleeting things that perish. He focused his time on people. Mm-hmm. And he didn't fight against the people that were literally killing him. He was fighting for them. And so that's my parting shot as a word of hope that he is for you and that he focuses his time on people. And that's what we're called to do as well.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of The Word at Work. If you enjoy this podcast or get something good out of it, be sure to like, subscribe, and the biggest compliment